day. We thank God for the prayers that have gone up. We know that when prayers go up, what? Blessings come down.
Hallelujah.
So if you're not experiencing the blessing of the Lord this morning, I ask you to open your heart and pray, beloved. Pray that God will speak to you, directly to you. Isn't it a blessing to know that God speaks a language designed just for you?
Amen.
So if you're not hearing God, I want you to say, Lord, enable me to hear your word and let me feel your touch. It is my privilege today, beloved, to a privilege and pleasure to introduce the Reverend Dr. Cheryl Coleman Hall. Let me say that name again. Reverend Dr. Cheryl Coleman Hall. Amen. It is my joy to introduce her. She is an ordained American Baptist USA minister who currently serves as an associate pastor at the 19th Street Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., where the Reverend Daryl Roberts is the pastor. And I want you to note that 19th Street Baptist Church is the first African-American Baptist church in Washington, D.C. It is also the Pavilion of God's sister church. You know, I remember when I referred to 19th Street as the mother church for our congregation, and I was told that we don't need to look and hierarchy as mother and child church, but we are sister churches. It's the church our congregation came out of and where I served as before founding this church of Zion. Dr. Hall, our esteemed preacher today, holds a doctor of ministry degree from United Theological Seminary. Her theological focus was on social justice and enacting Dr. Martin Luther King's beloved community. I want to repeat that. Her focus for her doctoral studies was on social justice and enacting Dr. Martin Luther King's beloved community. Dr. Hall's doctoral thesis focused on healing the wounds and pain of soul scars. I want to repeat that again. Hallelujah. Not just physical wounds, but the soul scars. Healing the wounds and pain of soul scars. What knowledge could be more important today? Amen.
Amen.
Prior to that academic pursuit, Dr. Hall earned a Master of Divinity degree from Wesley Theological Seminary, and she earned another master's degree in administration with a focus on organizational development. In other words, Dr. Hall is brilliant, well-studied, and beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowledgeable. She's a loving wife to Charles Hall and a devoted mother of two. But her gifts don't stop there. You see, God has prepared her for a call that she loves, a call to preach and a call to teach the people of God.
Amen.
Yes, God has prepared her to reach into the minds and the hearts of the people of God for God's divine purpose. One of Dr. Hall's favorite scriptures is found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And it reads thus, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Amen. You know, I'm blessed to know Dr. Cheryl Coleman Hall. She's not only a treasured colleague, she's a friend. And I know that the Reverend Hall knows what is good. She knows what the Lord requires of her. Praise God. I am blessed to know Dr. Cheryl Coleman Hall, and we are all blessed to have her bless us with a word from the Lord.
Amen.
After we listen to God Is, the next voice you'll hear will be that of Reverend Dr. Cheryl Coleman Hall.
Amen. Amen.
Shalom. My name is Or, which is the Hebrew word for light. If you already knew this.
Good morning, church. Good morning.
God is this morning.
Good morning.
Amen. God is our deliverer, our strong tower. God is our hope and our joy. God is this morning. And you can fill in the blanks as to who God is to you, how God has been with you and for you this morning. But give God praise and thank him that God truly is our all and all.
Yeah.
God, honor this morning for this day.
Yes.
For grace of being able to stand in this sacred space to my dear sister in Christ, the under shepherd of this flock, the pastor, Reverend Dr. Alethea Smith Withers, someone whom I admire greatly, to our fellow clergy, Deacon Charles Withers, office and family and friends of Pavilion of God Church, good morning.
Good morning.
Now. So I greet you with the Zulu greeting, Sawubona, which literally means I see you. And even those of you who are on the phone, I see you in spirit. And I see you literally means that you are important to me and I value you. It is said that the greeting is a way to make the other person visible.
Ooh,
and
amen.
To accept them as they are, with their virtues, nuances, and flaws. And so, Sawubona to you, I see you.
Yeah.
And this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. We are grateful. And thank our God for being in the midst of us, for it is said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you who have brought us thus far along the way, we are grateful and thankful for the gift of a new day. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Ooh,
you are here and we worship you.
Yes.
Speak to me and through me, God. Use me in this preaching moment, Father. Pour out your anointing power over your people. Have your way, dear God. And let us not leave this place in the same way that we came.
Amen.
Transform hearts, minds, bodies, and spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And if you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, beginning at the first chapter and the first verse. I love your pastor's theme, Lessons from the Lion Den. And there are many, many, many lessons we can learn from being in the lion's den. And we know that we are in a lion's den right now.
Ooh, yes.
Amen. From the book of Ruth, beginning at the first verse and the first chapter, let us read together. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And when they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the country, in the street, in the field, that the Lord had considered his people and given them food in her country. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's house. And may the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She blessed them. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, no, we will not return. We will return with you to your people. No, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughter. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become the husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God and my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. And may the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death departs from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. And for our focus this morning, for a few minutes, we will look at verse 16. But Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people and your God, my God.
Amen.
I love you, Mama, she's saying. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I ain't studying no going back home. I'm not listening to your mama. My heart is telling me that I'm going with you, and I'm determined to follow you.
Hallelujah.
My mind is made up.
Ooh.
I am determined to follow you. For a few moments this morning, meditate with me on the thought, determined to follow.
Hallelujah.
Determined to follow. The leader-follow relationship is an equation. If there are no followers, there are no leaders. Picture a room full of leaders, each wanting things done her or his way, and choosing not to give any regard to the thoughts of others. In our society of competition and capitalism, leadership is given the highest praise. Colleges and universities leadership programs attract many energetic, bright-eyed students each year, those wanting to be on top, those wanting to be in the driver's seat. And there are few, if any, courses or classes, sessions taught on followership. Mm-hmm. How to be a good follower. How to take up the mantle, see the vision, implement the goal along with another. What does it mean to be a good follower?
Hallelujah.
A good leader knows when to be a good follower. And in some situations, the leader knows when to step back and to allow someone in a subordinate role to take the lead.
Amen.
Realistically, in life, we are all leaders and we are all followers.
Yes.
It is when we begin to follow after that which is not true, not safe, not right, that we fall into trouble. Well, you might say, okay, preacher, but that is subjective. Who is to say it is not true, not safe, and not right? And surely all these people who are running around not wearing masks, gathering together, living their lives as though the word COVID and what it stands for does not exist.
Amen.
Thinking that COVID virus is a hoax, listening and following those who are in positions of authority and high places, those who have their hands on the pulse, those who know the teeth and have the skinny, those who must be speaking truth. I mean, we all think alike on some very basic notion, so why not follow them? Yes, they believe who and what they are following. Followership is a globally underrated quality. It is rarely viewed admirably, and followers are often seen as being incapable of making independent decisions and consistently being led astray, perhaps like.
Come on now.
The irony is that great leaders on their journey to the helm have demonstrated an ability to follow and function effectively in a group. How well the followers follow is probably just as important to the performance outcome as how well the leaders lead.
Amen.
Leadership relies on its followers to push it. Many of us recall the childhood game of follow the leader. First, the leader or head of the line is chosen. Then the children all line up behind the leader. The leader then moves around and all the children have to mimic the leader's action. Any players who fail to follow or do what the leader does are out of the game. And when only one person other than the leader remains, that player becomes the leader and the game begins again with all players joining the line once again. Lemon, a little roller, will leap to its death in droves because of a biological inclination to thin the herd, if you will. They will plunge into the ocean to their death, one following after the other to get to what a perceived shore line is. Try and swim a distance for which they do not have the stamina or ability, and so many of them die. Picture these little animals running helter-skelter, rushing toward a cliff, rushing to water, rushing to what they think on the other side of that water is a shoreline so that they all can get to food, all have resources, because they are so many of them now. And to see them running toward that cliff, jumping off that cliff into the ocean, where there is no shore, where there is no horizon, one right behind the other, and they began to perish.
Yes.
Their bodies cannot make it.
Yes.
The depth of the water. It is also said of sheep that they will also plunge en masse to their death. And this is said to be because sheep have a strong instinct to follow the sheep in front of them.
Yes.
When one sheep decides to go somewhere, the rest of the flock usually follows, even if it is not a good decision. For example, sheep will follow each other to flock. If one sheep jumps off over a cliff, the others are likely to follow. And there are several amazing videos on YouTube where sheep are put to the test of whether or not they recognize the master shepherd's voice, whether or not they will follow any voice, or if they will continue to follow the one.
Come on now.
And in this particular video, this test, several people were used to test the sheep. And one by one, they called out to the sheep who are grazing out in the pasture. Each one steps up to the railing and calls out to the sheep, and nothing happens. Second person steps up to the railing and calls out to the sheep, and sheep continue to graze, and nothing happens.
Yes.
Third person steps up to the railing and calls out in a loud voice to the sheep, and the sheep fail to respond. And after two or three tries, the shepherd steps up to the rail. Ooh. And calls out.
Yes.
And his cadence and the pitch and rhythm of his voice is different.
Mm.
And something wonderful begins to happen. As he calls out in a loud voice, one sheep lifts its head.
Yes.
Then turns in the direction of the voice.
Mm.
Another sheep looks up from grazing.
Hallelujah. And
then they began to move toward the voice.
Mm.
Others in the herd pick up, and all of a sudden there is this group moving as one. And it's a wonderful sight to behold, and you hear the voice of Jesus saying, my sheep, hear my voice.
Hallelujah.
Show them and they follow me. Those of us who hear our God's voice follow. And what is the vehicle? What transports us? What propels us toward that voice?
Mm.
To hear, to believe, and to follow.
Mm.
And I submit to you that hope and faith and belief gleaned from the word of God and our lived experiences are the vehicles that transport us.
Yes,
to the feet of God, that moves us to seek God, to hear the voice of God, and ultimately to follow God. And back in the 60s, in 1960 to be precise, a young singing phenomenon who was only 14 years old recorded a song that would become a number one hit on the U.S. chart. The song was entitled, I Will Follow Him.
Amen.
And the singer's name was Peggy March.
Mm-hmm.
With poise and vocal control, this young adolescent sung of a love with the maturity of someone much older. And she chanted over and over as if she were talking to anyone who would listen of her love of him. I love him, I love him, I love him, and where he goes, I'll follow, I'll follow, I'll follow. I will follow him, she's saying, wherever he will go, there is no ocean too deep.
Yes.
No mountain so high that it can keep me away.
Yes.
I must follow him, she declares. And ever since he touched my heart, I knew that near him I always must be, and nothing can keep me from him.
Yes, yes.
The movie is Sister Act pulled this song out of the vault. And Whoopi Goldberg served as choir director to a group of singing nuns.
Mm-hmm.
They sang from the depths of their heart, I love him and I will follow him. And at the end of the song, the congregation stood with rousing applause. Even the Pope, who was there, took part in the standing ovation.
Yes.
The song is sung in a church setting, took on a little bit of a different flavor. And the he, we knew clearly that they were singing about their love for with Christ. Can we emphatically declare our love for Christ, saying we will follow him no matter what?
Yes,
the
yes.
Of the world, the twin viruses of COVID-19 and racism become too much of a distraction. It is said that victims of abuse never forget and may never fully trust. Our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, grandfathers and great-grandfathers, even fathers and mothers, those of us of a certain age who lived through Jim Crow segregation and Jim Crow again, never really trust totally. Seen too much, know too much, lived through too much to know that racism is still an issue. That prejudice is not it. They know the struggles for each and every advancement.
Yes.
African American men and women were the last to be granted civil liberty by law.
Mm-hmm.
The passage of the 19th Amendment, which was ratified by the United States Congress on August 18th and then certified as law on August 22nd, 1920, technically granted women the right to vote. However, the 19th Amendment did not initially extend to women of African American, Asian American, Hispanic American, and American Indian heritage because of widespread enduring inequality and racism from within the rank of the women's suffragette movement. Achieving this milestone for African American women required a lengthy and difficult struggle. Victory took decades of agitation and the protest. Educator and activist Nannie Helen Burroughs and members of the Woman National Baptist Convention.
Yes.
Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker, and Diane Nash continued to fight for voting rights for all, which eventually culminated in the passage of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And it wasn't until the Voting Rights Act was passed nearly a half century later, on August 6, 1965, that Black women were officially allowed to exercise their right to vote. And I'm gonna put a pin in it for a minute right here. For all of the blood, sweat, and tears that has been shed, the endless marches, the risks, the racist acts endured that preempted our ability to vote, makes it imperative, ethical, and even moral that one, each and every one, should exercise their right to vote.
Amen.
Our men and women have been robbed of the ability to vote because of an overwhelming number of felony charges levied against them.
Yes.
Crimes that are ignored or at most responded to with a slap on the hand for whites are ferociously hurled against Blacks. Being charged with a felony in most states, recall Jim Crow and states' rights in the Jim Crow era, takes away voting rights, determines where one can live or work, and even what type of work one can do. And even after an individual has served whatever sentence of time, he or she is still punished by the society. We don't even need to mention private owned prisons, state operated prisons, the parasites who live and make a living off of keeping prison carts filled like cans on a grocery store shelf. The number of cottage industries, corrections, parole officers that make their living off of prisons and jails is unbelievable. Of course, these groups, business, lobby for mass incarceration because that's the way they make their living.
Yeah.
We vote. Yes, the presidential election is critical, but so are the local elections. The elections of congressmen and women, prosecutors and sheriffs and judges. The entire system needs to be overhauled, and each of us can voice our opinion with our vote. The corruption of the political system in America rivals that of most corrupt societies, those that we refer to as third world and underdeveloped countries. Not to alarm you, but if we think it's bad now, just think what it would be like.
Yes.
If someone has another go at the White House for an additional term.
Yes.
What it will be like.
Following.
Test the spirit by the spirit, the word tells us. Listen to what is being said. We are familiar with the phrase reading between the lines.
Go ahead now.
Toni Morrison, great author, advocate, and Black woman, talked of the writing process, and she said sometimes the writer writes between the words. And this is to help the reader who does not hear anything from the page. In other words, according to Dr. Cheryl, we need to use all of our gifts and senses to discern what is true.
Yes.
The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, if a prophet or one who foretells by dream appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, I repeat that, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dream. The Lord your God is testing you
yes,
whether you love him with all of your heart and with all of your strength. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere.
Yes,
keep
yes.
His commandments and obey him, serve him, and hold fast.
Yes.
The key here, brothers and sisters, beloved of Christ, is even if the sign and wonder does take place, even if what he or she says will happen does happen, don't get hung up there.
Okay.
Listen to what they also are saying and doing.
Teach.
And if they're trying to steer you away from the God of our salvation,
yes.
Pay close attention. Even if it's a sign or a wonder, no matter how great or wonderful the thing is, pay close attention.
My.
Stay on alert. Because if by any means they suggest you follow other gods, be concerned.
Amen.
And know that they probably won't be outright with this, won't be in your face, but coming through the back door kind of thing. It's discernment that we need. The deceiver comes with a master plan, comes to deceive and to lead one away from God, to lead you to other gods, the small g. And if you want to know, if you suspect, if you are wondering if you are being led away from God, look at what is being done. Listen to what is being said. Really look and really listen, because the deceiver is skilled, gifted in presenting something while hiding the truth and the reality of the thing.
Yes.
Have you stopped being as committed to God as you previously had been? Are you not praying as much? Making excuses for not studying the word? Sometimes how we are being drawn away is so benign that we don't see it and don't fully understand the implications until we are caught up in, until we have to fight our way out of.
Yeah.
And pray. And the Bible goes on to say that even if your own brother or sister or daughter or wife tries to secretly entice you away from God, that you are not to yield and not to listen.
Yes.
Bless the Lord. The book of wisdom attributed to King Solomon is Proverbs, full of wisdom scripture. We are told to seek wisdom.
Yes.
Solomon asked God for a discerning heart, and this pleased God. And because he did not ask for wealth, long life, or the death of his enemies,
yes,
God gave him a wise and discerning heart. And because he did not ask for wealth and riches, God also gave him all of the wealth and honor for a man of his generation. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Our sister Ruth teaches us the power of love, commitment, and determination.
Yes.
She teaches us what it means to be a follower, even in times of uncertainty. You know the story. She's living with her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law tells her to go back home, and she refuses. I'm going with you, Mama, wherever you're going. I'm going to live like you. I'm going to learn with you. Your God will be my God. And we are grateful for her lesson. A little bit about the context of Moab. Moab, the Moabites, descended from the son of Lot, nephew of Abraham, during what we might say is a hush-hush situation. You familiar with the story? His daughter, they enticed their father during a state of drunkenness to be with them because they feared that their family would die out because there were no men around them. And each one of his two daughters had a son. One son was named Moab and the other Ben-Ammon. And from these two sons, these two civilizations, these two societies grew. Naomi is turning to go home. She's upset because she's alone. She has no one to care for, no men, and that these two young women, each suffering their own grief, who are hanging on to her.
Yes.
And she makes a decision. I'm going back alone, and I want you two to go back to your family. I can't take care of you. I can't even promise that you will have any kind of future with me. So I want you to go home. And declare, makes a determined decree. I'm not going. I'm going to stay with you.
Yes.
I'm going to follow you.
Yes, yes.
She didn't know what she would be facing. She didn't know how they would survive. But she put her trust in her mother, and her love overshadowed any kind of uncertainty. I'm going with you. I'm determined to follow you, and you can't send me away.
Yes.
And her mother-in-law says, I have nothing more to say. Mm-hmm. And we know the rest of the story, how God stepped into their situation.
Yes.
And the two of them, because of God's faithfulness, would not have to worry about how they were going to survive. God provided a husband for Ruth. Ruth continued to rely and to obey and to follow her mother-in-law's wisdom, her mother-in-law's direction.
Yeah.
And this benefited both of them. Baritone Douglas Miller declares, though the storms in my life keep on raging, and sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day, still the hope that lies within is reassured as I keep upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. Ruth and Naomi, one following the other, and blind trust is an example of what we must do to continue to follow God during these troubling times. Following requires surrendering of self and requires submission. We're not talking about just rolling over and doing something someone tells us to do. But when we follow Jesus, we know that we gain so much more than we will ever lose. As he said to his disciples, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of people.
Hallelujah.
It takes courage to follow the ways of the Lord. In a world where we are bombarded day by day and minute by minute.
Yes, yes.
Governed by, led by those who are in direct opposition to the word of God. It takes courage to live this Christian journey.
Yeah.
But be determined, my brothers and sisters, have a made up mind.
Ooh,
I will follow Jesus no matter what it looks like. And we thank God for the determination of those early followers of God.
Yes.
Those followers who ultimately became leaders, because when Jesus left the fresh land realm of the world, they became the voice of the gospel.
Yes.
Know that Jesus was training the followers to be leaders. So we thank God for the leadership of the early church fathers and mothers. We thank God that they continued to preach and teach the gospel.
Yes.
We thank God that as others heard, they repented of their sins and asked Jesus to come into their hearts.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for our forefathers who decided to follow Jesus and to teach us God's way. We are grateful that we have a God who loves us so much that he continues to care.
Yes, yes.
Because he said that his desire would that all would be saved. And souls would be set right with God. We thank him because he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us who took on sin for our sake, allowed himself to be brutalized and beaten, stretched out on an old rugged cross to save a wretch like me and you, who died to set us free. We thank God that death and the grave could not hold him on the next day.
Hallelujah.
Early he arose with all power in his hand.
Thank you,
Jesus. The Bible says he walked among the disciples and broke bread with him. Mm-hmm. He was seen in various places and on that appointed day. And the presence of 11 of his disciples, he ascended into heaven where he is exalted and sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for Jesus, his leadership, for showing us the way, and for his fellowship, for doing the will of the Father. Stay strong, brothers and sisters.
Don't
be distracted.
Yes.
Be determined to follow that which has been taught in Jesus' name. And where you lead, I will follow, oh God. Lead me and guide me along the way. And Lord, if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with you. Lead me, oh Lord. Lead me, and to God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite you to take your
Amen.
Most of